that invitation or that opportunity comes from them and not from us. Not.
How do you help people choose to put effort there? My initial thought on that is actually different than what I would have thought just a few days ago.
Welcome to Teaching Restored, where we get to talk about how to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This really is a love fest for teaching, is really what it is, isn't it, Julie?
I don't know if I would call it a love fest. Let's call it the party boat of teaching.
So this is like Burning Man for teaching the gospel.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Woo! Maybe not that far. Maybe not that That's far.
Extreme. I mean, we're nerds and we get really enthusiastic about it, but maybe that was a stretch even for us.
Yeah, that probably is way stretch. Big time stretch. Wow.
I liked it though. I still liked it.
Yeah. Okay. So Julie, this is part two. This is part two where we're taking teaching in the Savior's way. And I have identified a number of results of teaching where it says something like the purpose of your teaching, or when you're done teaching, this is something that, you know, you should be thinking, or they should be thinking, or doing, or becoming, or whatever it is. And I went through it and I identified these. And the first one, I think we got through four of them as all, because they're just so great.
Yeah, I think we were both actually a little bit surprised,
really,
by how much discussion those results that you identified actually prompted. And yeah. So I'm looking forward to today. We ended last time saying that we wanted to do this again.
Yeah, this is a good one. Okay, but yeah. Because of that, I'm giving a talk in sacrament meeting on Sunday. And I did it differently this time than I ever have before. And I want to share this with you. Yeah. I went to the results first. And
when you say you went to the results, like you in your mind began with the end in mind? Like what is the result that I want?
Steven just happened. That's right.
Drop the habit too.
Yep. So I asked, what do I want them to become? That was my question. And the answer for me was, I want them to be resolved to search and study the words of the living apostles and prophets.
Okay.
So that was my end result. And then I go to this first result and I'm like, oh, I totally missed it. Or did I? Okay, so this is the first result from teaching in the Savior's way. And let's diagnose if I did this right or wrong. We'll see. I don't know if it's too late to go back.
Wait, when you say did this, you haven't given the talk yet.
I haven't, but I did the preparation wrong.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Like if maybe you took by doing a habit too, maybe you did something wrong.
Right. So let's see. So this result here, this is on page 9. It says, the purpose of teaching and learning about Jesus Christ is to help each person draw closer to him and to our Heavenly Father. Help the people you teach to never lose sight of that purpose. So the purpose of teaching and learning about Jesus Christ is to help each person draw closer to him and our Heavenly Father. So I'm focused on, I put resolve to search and study the words of the living prophets. Then I started debating with myself. Did I do that to help each person draw closer to him and to our Heavenly Father? What are your thoughts?
Heck yes, you did that right. Like, think about the feast that General Conference is. I'm assuming by the timing of this, that part of what you're trying to get at from your talk, you're trying to talk a little bit about General Conference. Is that correct? Is that part of your assignment?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So can you think of another group of people that collectively are working to bring and help other people come personally closer to Jesus Christ than the prophets, apostles, and general authorities of the church? I cannot.
Right.
And so if you lead people to study the words of the prophets and apostles, you are leading them to study modern counsel about how to draw closer to Jesus Christ. So I absolutely see that connection. I think if it's almost like you pass a sign that's like, keep going this way. Like, you're going in the right direction. Okay. Landmark. Here we go. Keep going.
You know, that's a great analogy. I like that a lot because so here's my thought process as I went through this. And I think others may have the same thought process. So okay. I come up with this resolve to search and study the words of the living apostles and prophets, right? Great. Then I read the result, and the result is to help each person draw closer to him and Heavenly Father. So my mind went to focusing on how to draw closer to them. And I'm not actually doing that. I'm talking about the prophets and apostles and not them specifically. But then I went, wait a minute. But by doing that, am I actually doing that? And the whole signpost analogy you just gave, I think, is right on. I don't think we have to, and I'm just processing this all as I'm talking and looking at all this. But I think a lot of times maybe we get caught up in, oh, I got to focus on Jesus. And we do. We need to focus on Jesus. Yeah. But sometimes focusing on Jesus is a signpost. Let's talk about the sign to get them to there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Does that make sense?
100%. And it's interesting because I'm such a kind of I'm a little bit mentally rigid in my mind. And I'm a rule follower. And so when you give me the instruction to make sure that everything I'm doing in a class is pointing to Jesus Christ, I almost feel like it has to be a direct connection. Like that,
right.
You know, linearly, I have to draw a straight line, shortest distance between us and Christ. And how can I do that? And so I try and I've confessed this before, so this is not going to like shock anybody, but like, I'll be like, oh crap, at the end of a lesson and throw Jesus in. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's literally missing the point. And part of, I think what it is it's a mindset. So when we talk about beginning with the end in mind, I think it's almost a two-step process that you've got a mindset that needs to be pervasive. And it's a mindset focused on the Savior, his example, his ways, his path, like the gospel of Jesus Christ basically overlays everything that you're trying to accomplish in these classrooms. And so it isn't as much the actual words. It is more the mindset that will then literally like bleed into everything that you're teaching. If you think about it, what you think about unconsciously has the capacity to influence your behavior. And so if what we are thinking about in our preparation and as we enter that class, and hopefully you're saying your prayers before you teach, right? Part of what you're saying is that I want to help people draw closer to thee. That is what you are thinking about and praying about as you enter that class. And I think that will unconsciously influence the words coming out of our mouths.
I agree. Because I was panicking a little bit as I started writing this. I had that in mind. I'm going through this. And then even before I was preparing for the recording today and this one came up, this particular result came up, I thought, okay, how much of the Savior do I have in here? And I look back and I'm like, I don't know that I have do I say Jesus? Do I say his name in here enough? And am I pointing? And I looked back through here and as I'm going through that, I do a few times, for example, say his name, but I'm talking about a Christ-like characteristic and how I learned that.
Right.
And I'm talking about prophets and apostles, and those are all pointed to him. And so I think I'm the same as you. I'm thinking, okay, how many times can I get his name in there? But at the same time, that's not always the right approach to it.
Right. You know, and it's so interesting as you're describing this, like I see why you were having this little bit of a debate. And so I was listening to conference this morning as I was getting ready. That's kind of something that I'll do. And one of the talks one of them specifically that I listened to this morning, I listened to Elder Bednar, and I think it was in Elder Bednar's talk, actually, he was talking about becoming. He was talking about the idea that, you know, Heavenly Father really has the most interest when we think about standing before. Am I thinking of the right talk? He was talking about being agents to act. And then, oh yeah, it is the right talk. And he was talking about how, you know, we view judgment in a maybe false way. Mm-hmm. And he suggested that part of what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ is that we will be judging ourselves in a way. And he talked mm-hmm. about it literally, and he used a verse in Nephi about how it will be a function of what we have become, less than a function of like, oh, check, check, check. You've done this. You did this. You did. And gotcha. So I think about that, for example, as one of many litmus tests to your theory is what Elder Bednar talked about and what the other talks were about. Are they, in a very literal sense, teaching us more about the path we're walking in our daily lives? Yeah. Like, we can't just focus so much on the end result that we don't like look at where we're putting our feet in front of us.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we have to be present and goal-oriented simultaneously with the gospel. And I think that goal-oriented is making sure the focus is on Christ. That's the mindset. But then we also have to be very present in our very real and sometimes difficult lives. And I do think that the counsel from prophets and apostles is literally intended to help us do that in the most effective way possible.
I agree. Thank you. That rests my heart some.
But I see what you thought. I totally see why you had that. And I'm not saying I'm right, but that really resonates with me.
Me too. I guess I just had to think about it a little bit more, and I'm glad I can throw it up against this teaching in the Savior's way and really start thinking about it, because what I used to do in the past is just create a lesson or create a talk, yeah. Right? And yeah. Your topic's on this. Great. I'll go do it. And I'm not even thinking really about, this sounds horrible. I'm not even thinking about turning people toward Christ. I'm thinking about doing my talk. And of course, that's going to be in there, of course, right? Well, now I'm kind of hyper-focused on making sure that everything focuses on Christ. And if it's effective, it will help people point themselves more toward Christ. So I'm hoping that works. We'll find out.
That's super real. What you're saying is super real. I suspect that there are other people out there who, when we say, make sure that there are things, okay, I feel bad saying this, but there are things that people say sometimes where I kind of tune out because I've heard it a million times, right?
Sure.
And as teachers, I wonder if one of the things that makes us tune out just a little bit is the clicheness of make sure everything points to Christ.
Sure.
And what I hope we've kind of dug into in some previous episodes is the fact that that is not just a cliche. It's not just something to say, like that it is one of the most important things that we can do. And I wonder if that overemphasis on it can sometimes cause us a little bit of, you know, insecurity, because, you know, how does church history point to Christ? We're studying the right. Doctrine and Covenants right now. Yeah. You get a little bit glitchy as you're trying to figure that out. Or, you know, how does your talk, any talk that somebody's giving, oh no. And then we get a little bit convoluted, and we almost in our desire to keep the rule, we shove things in there that don't necessarily fit. And I think that part of what we need to do is relax a little bit.
Yeah.
This is my personal opinion. Relax a little bit. And like, remember, it's a mindset. It's not necessarily the exact words. Like, you don't have to say certain words to have it point to Christ. It doesn't look a certain way. Mm-hmm. Like, it can look a whole bunch of different ways. Don't you think?
Well, now that you say that, I'm thinking back to the conference talks.
Yeah.
How do they do it? And that's essentially how it's done. They talk of Christ, but, you know, they're, who was it? Elder Renlund talked about the family. Mm-hmm. A lot mm-hmm. about the family, right? And was it Elder Gong talked about being a peacemaker? No, that wasn't Elder Gong, but another one of the 12 talked about being a peacemaker.
I think it was Razban that talked about
Razban,
by the way.
Was it Razban? Yeah. Okay. Oh, it was Razban. You're right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
But
you see what I mean? I mean, that's the topic of their talk. And they're talking about Christ in there, but they're talking more about the signpost to get to Christ and following that signpost to get there.
What was the one that I just listened to in the car taking my dog back from the vet? It brought tears to my eyes.
I can't help you.
Let me tell you what it was. I'm going to tell you what it was right now because it just barely. You weren't? Why were you with me?
I know.
Okay, here we go.
What a friend.
So it was right before Renlund. Who was before Renlund? Carlos A. Godoy, right? Isn't that how you say his name?
Godoy, I think
so. He talked about smiling faces and grateful hearts. And he was talking about being in Africa. And it was so, I'm listening to it on audio only, but he would get choked up almost every time he would relate an experience that someone had and then say, and in spite of that circumstance, they had a smiling face and a grateful heart. And he would get, you know, a little verklempt every time he would say it. And I was so touched by that. I'm like, did he say the name of Christ? I don't know. But what he said is that every one of these people was capable of smiling and feeling grateful because of the Savior Jesus Christ. Like that was the point of his whole talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so good. And so yes. Like you said, I just so much of what we teach about is in the very nature of the content, pointing people to the Savior and helping him to come closer to them. But you know what I appreciate, Kev? I appreciate the whole idea of beginning with the end in mind. Like the fact that you took a step back from your talk and took the time to actually ask yourself that question, you know, what is it that I want people to do differently or to become because of what we're going to be sharing, that is absolutely the right question. And in your mind, what you are thinking is, I want them to become both closer to and more like the Savior Jesus Christ.
Correct.
And how does this topic help them to accomplish that purpose?
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes on Sunday.
It's going to be amazing. I know it is.
Well, you know, one time, I think I mentioned this before, but I got up to give a talk and the person in front before me took 40 minutes and I literally had 3 minutes. Yep. So I don't know how this is going to go. That could happen again. And I just said, church is true. Amen. And we're done or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember what it was.
Which... totally appropriate, right? And yep. How blessed were you for going through the effort to prepare that talk?
I know. I absolutely was. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was great. Okay. Thank you for that discussion on that one. Here's another.
Okay.
Provide opportunities for learners to receive a witness from the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of the Father and the Son. So that is can be a result of our teaching to provide opportunities for learners to receive a witness from the Holy Ghost.
Okay, so here's initial the question. Thoughts. Yeah, I have one initial thought, but let me lead up to it just really quickly. So you said that can be a result that they will kind of, I'm putting words in your mouth, but like eventually go on and have an experience that helps them receive a witness from the Holy Ghost, right? That's kind of what you're thinking. Like an outcome would be that they would leave our class and that they would go on to have their own personal experience, right?
Is that okay? I see two ways, but that is one way. Yes.
That is one way. But the way that immediately popped into my mind is, how do you do that in your classroom? How do you provide an opportunity for individual learners to experience something with the Holy Ghost? And I thought of the podcast that we just recorded with youth, Mm-hmm. And when we asked them about their favorite types of learning experiences, two of them talked specifically about being provided with opportunities in a learning environment to actually sit and have private study. Right.
I was so surprised by that.
I was shocked by that. Does that not beautifully fit mm-hmm. with that learning objective? Like,
right.
So that's what I thought of immediately is we can do more of that. Yeah. We can do more. I listened, or I was kind of eavesdropping because I was playing the piano for primary, and then I snuck in the back of Gospel Doctrine and was overhearing this teacher instructing people to like take a minute and make a note in their phone or to journal about something. Mm-hmm. And it was so silent with 0% discomfort. Like it was not uncomfortable silence at all. I was just like, why is it so quiet in here? And it was because people were taking seriously the assignment to like give it some thought for themselves. Some people might've been making grocery lists, but I'm pretty sure that most of the people in there were actually participating in the assignment. I thought that was great.
I like that. And that, you know what that made me think of is what would be cool to have. And I think we're just the people to create this. Although I'd have to go back and, oh my goodness, this would be a kind of a big effort. Uh-oh. To have a something as I prepare a lesson with I just like a bunch of ideas and or questions I can ask myself beforehand or after, but yet before I teach, after I finish preparing, before I teach. Okay. And I think that could be one of them. What experience, what opportunity do I give them to receive a witness from the Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. And ask that and then look at what I've prepared and see if I have provided an opportunity for them to receive that witness. And if not, yeah. I can say, maybe I can add something in there. Maybe I can replace something that I did have in there with a quote opportunity, some kind of an experience in there as well.
You know what it sometimes is? It's sometimes just slowing down enough that you don't like trip over the spirit accidentally in what you're trying to move good on point. To. Like yeah. I remember doing that as a missionary, and one of my companions kind of gave me some pretty honest feedback that I was anxious to keep the discussion moving. And so she's like, didn't you feel what was happening? And I'm like, yeah, but like, I was kind of uncomfortable and wanted to get the conversation. Like it was so bad, but I did. And it was so instructive to me because now I think about that a lot. I'm like, do I slow down enough to give people the opportunity to feel, or is it just content, 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 content?
Right. That's a good point.
It so, made me and if think, that is your tendency,
build you know, it. That made me think of those times in my life when I've got to get things done. Things are packed and I'm just go, 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 go. And I don't feel along the way. And then when I'm done by the end, I'm wasted. I'm completely, okay, now I have to let the feeling in. Wow, that was a lot. Rather than going through and processing all the way. If we're not given room to process, that does it really sink in at all?
Yeah. I mean, that I feel like that's my life. I feel like unless I intentionally carve out space to feel, I can get away with just flying.
With not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really, that's a good point. So we have to be intentional, I think, about making that happen.
Right. Okay. So let's go to the other kind that you mentioned first.
Yeah.
How can we create opportunities beyond our class, beyond our discussion that will kind of extend our lesson, if you will, past the classroom into real life so that they can proactively act? Well, that's redundant. Proactively act and have their own experiences.
Mm-hmm. My initial thought on that is actually different than what I would have thought just a few days ago. Because in my head, I'm like, oh, we can give them an invitation. We can and invitations are important. I'm not trying to dismiss that. But the first thing that came, like a really solid invitation is important. So again, not dismissing it.
Sure.
But the first thing that came into my mind is that we can create space for them to process application with each other. Meaning that when you think about like being given an invitation, sometimes to me, I'm like, my brain is exploding. I can't even hold on to that invitation. Set it aside. Julie, you're off the hook. Let it go. Circumstances won't permit you to even take that invitation. Go home today and journal about da 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 da.
Yeah,
ain't got no space for that, right?
Right.
So, but what helps me a lot is if I can listen to other people talk about how that principle could, would, should, has applied in their own life. And then I can think of, oh my gosh, the other day when I was interacting with so-and-so, wow, I wish I would have taken the opportunity to do X. And oh, I've got this meeting this week. I wonder if I can make sure I incorporate X. Because it gets us thinking about how to, in normal and natural ways, really incorporate, you know, elevating our spiritual life in our daily living, if that makes any,
yeah.
That is not the right way of putting it. But do you see what I'm trying to say? Like the practice of becoming better, if we can plan for it a little bit by literally kind of visualizing how we can elevate what it is that we know we have to accomplish that week, that's helpful to me. And so my suggestion is that maybe what we do is we create space for talking about how we might apply whatever principle it is that we're discussing with each other and let us teach each other how to do that more effectively.
I've got an example of that. And this was so flippin' cool. I was so impressed with this. I got to talk to this youth about, I haven't talked to him yet about it because I just barely learned about it because we were out of town when this happened. But the missionaries came over a couple 3 weeks ago, and we just started talking about what we can do in the ward to increase missionary work overall, right?
Right, right.
And they had come to the football game for the high school for part of that. And they said, we want to come again because when we came, there was a whole bunch of interaction with people and members and non-members. And it was actually really good. And I said, okay. They said, so, you know, is there anything like that, that something else that we could do? And the idea popped in and I said, why don't you go to the youth and say, hey, we're going to be at the football game. When you see us, come over and ask to take a picture with us and then get some of your friends to come in with you.
Huh.
And so they were like, okay, well, yeah, let's do that. And so they went to the youth and they said, hey, we're going to do this. We'd love, if you see us, say, hey, come, I want to take a picture, selfie with you. So come take a picture and then have some of your friends either take the picture or be in the picture with us. And that way, you know, just more exposure, right?
Yeah, like, well, comfortable interaction.
Yeah, yeah. So that happened, and I don't know if the next thing happened as a result of that or if it happened apart from that, but another thing that happened is that it was the homecoming game, and the person who became homecoming king was a member of our ward. Mm-hmm. And who did he have escort him out on the field? The missionaries.
Oh, no way. Are you serious?
And they said, and Indy's going to go on a mission after high school.
Wow. Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. No kidding. And so in going back to providing opportunities, it's just and that was a result of the missionaries and I just sitting down and thinking,
brainstorming,
what can we possibly do? If we're just going, we're not going to have thoughts like that. But if we kind of take a step back and say, okay, what are the opportunities that we can have for people to feel the Spirit, for people to get exposure, for people to whatever our goal is at that point? I find that it's a lot easier when we stop and think about it rather than just try to execute all the time.
Well, think about what you sharing something like that in a classroom setting would be. You're talking, let's say, about, you know, how can we do a better job at being member missionaries? And everybody starts, like, instead of just giving an invitation that you think is the right invitation, encourage them to have a discussion about how can we do this better.
Right.
Somebody brings up that comment. Oh, guess what we did the other day? Like at the high school, at, you know, the homecoming game, the missionaries escorted the homecoming king and they were able to mention that he's going on a mission and people were able to see who the missionaries are and connect the dots. All these people are like, oh my gosh, I should invite the missionaries to come to my daughter's basketball game. Or I should invite the missionaries to da 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 da. Or, oh, I wonder if, you know, just like think about the ideas, because we're so myopic in how we think. We see our own reality and we get, you know, carved trenches that are the parameters of what we do because of our habits, right? And so what if we can like get somebody to talk to us and help us jump outside of those, you know, parameters just a little bit and be like, wait, I can totally do that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That I think is better than us like not like trying to create the perfect invitation on our own.
Mm-hmm. When we had the discussion with the youth, one of the things we kind of ended with was that we're so used to the teachers asking questions and the students answering. What if we flip that and have the students ask the question and make an environment where they are more open to ask questions? Well, it's the same kind of thing. What if we open it up at the end or even during a lesson and said, hey, what kind of opportunities can we create or put into place from what we're talking about that will help us draw closer to the Savior and have a witness from the Holy Ghost? Be thinking about that, because at the end, we all need to come up with something. And really that invitation or that opportunity comes from them and not from us.
Exactly. That's exactly what I kind of had in my brain.
I like that very, very much.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I think I'm going to use that. I can't really use that during my talk.
Giving a talk, you can.
Next time.
But you are EQP right now.
Right.
There will be great opportunities in Elders Quorum to use that.
That is true. Very true.
Good like spot. That.
Thank you. Okay. Number three today. We're halfway through already, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
We've only done two. It's amazing, huh? All right, here's the next one. Invite learners to seek the help of the Holy Ghost to identify ways they can become more like the Savior.
Okay.
What are your
initial
thoughts?
Can you read the first part of it again?
Yes.
Identify ways.
Invite learners to seek the help of the Holy Ghost to identify ways that they can become more like the Savior. That is a result. That can be a result of our teaching.
So you know what this kind of feels like to me a little bit? This feels a little bit like personal inventory. So you're basically saying, how can you reflect on your own, you know, seeking the help of the Holy Ghost so that you can identify ways that you can become more like the Savior? I feel like that's inviting a little bit of personal inventory. Don't you kind of view it that way? Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah, I do. I like that. I like the way you looked at that. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that before, but yeah.
And the reason that I'm thinking of that is because I'm having my own little kind of, not crisis, but
reflection.
I'm repenting for something actively. And the thing that I'm repenting for actively is that I'm so fatigued, I feel like expending the energy to try and become better is overwhelming me. And I say that, I'm naturally a person that tries to improve and tries to seek better ways to do things, but I'm tired. And I'm
well, you're 50 now, Julie. So
I know I am 50. That's it. It's the fatigue of old age. No, like my life right now is a little exhausting. I'm not getting very much sleep. I have a special needs son and he is sadly not sleeping. And those, we've been through these phases before, but somehow in my 40s and 30s, they were way easier. My 50, I crossed over that barrier and now it's hard. Just kidding.
It's all downhill.
But it is hard.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so I think about sometimes that I'm not giving enough energy to reflect on, you know, you have to invite the Holy Ghost. He's not going to like shove an insight down your throat. It just doesn't work that way, right? You kind of have to be asking. And so that takes energy because I know that if I ask and I receive a prompting, I need to act on that prompting and I'm scared because I'm tired. And so if I'm being honest, like we've got to figure out a way to do this that's just inspiring and not overwhelming. Do you know what I mean? That people feel uplifted by the invitation and not buried by the invitation. And this is kind of that concept of try a little harder to be a little better versus what do you need to repent of so that you can, you know, become more like Jesus. I don't know if I'm articulating that very well. I just am saying that I think we have to be cognizant of the fact that it's hard sometimes.
I think that, you know, just the sentence, right? Let me read this again. Invite learners to seek the help of the Holy Ghost to identify ways they can become more like the Savior. So if I took that literally, I could say, all right, class, I want to invite you to seek the help of the Holy Ghost to identify ways you can become more like the Savior. Everyone's going to go, good idea. And never think about it again.
Yep.
Right? Because they are so busy, because we have all these things to do, because. And the whole purpose of the invite is to move the needle. It's not to just throw an invite out, but it's actually
it's to move the needle.
Yes. So what could we, I mean, you're right. It almost sounds like here, let me give you one more thing that you need to do. Although, in a way, naturally, we should be doing this, right?
I know this is the thing. Anyways. We should be doing it constantly. And I think I didn't articulate it very well, but the part of it that's hard for me is that I think I love to learn. And so I think so much about intellectualizing things and I don't think as much about applying things. And that's part of it for me that I'm repenting of is the idea that it is really hard for me right now to like self-reflect and say, what in my nature do I need to change, you know, to become more like the Savior? That's exercise. Like that requires energy. It requires effort. It requires intention, but it is literally, I mean, we mentioned Elder Bednar's talk a little bit earlier. It's what he's talking about. It's the idea of becoming agents to act, to move the needle in our own lives so that we become the people that we have the potential to become so that we can, in the eventualities, right, be sitting before the judgment bar of God and be so happy about who we, through the Savior Jesus Christ, have chosen to become and have put effort into becoming. And doing that right this minute makes me tired. But I'm saying it is the right thing. How do you help? Like, how do you help people? Actually, this might be the key. How do you help people choose to put effort there?
Okay, an idea.
Yeah.
And just probably one of many, many, many. Help people identify what to give up so that they have the energy or the time or the willpower to focus on that.
Oh, so you're saying like instead of asking people to add something, ask people to take something away.
So that they can, yes, so that they can focus more on that. Because I'll tell you, I've found when I have been prompted to come closer to the Savior, to change my life in ways, it always involves giving something up. That
like getting rid of something.
Yeah, yeah. It always does. Okay, what am I gonna? And honestly, usually involves with what am I going to give up? That's what it usually starts with. And I identify, say, okay, I'm going to give that up. And I almost feel like Heavenly Father then says, okay, now that you've given that up, let me replace it with something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I almost feel like it for, at least for me, it doesn't work the other way as much as here. I want you to do this, but you got to give up something. What are you going to give up? It usually comes in that particular order for me.
The other way, meaning what should I give up? And then something else. I just am so scared that if I ask that, he's going to ask me to give up caffeine.
You and Kelly.
I really hope not. Like, that's part of the problem. I think I'm so tired that I would die. But Kev, that makes sense to me. And let me actually make it even less spiritual for just one second.
Okay, good idea.
I know, great idea. But like, when you say that, what do I need to give up? I think of consecration and I think of sacrifice.
Sure, yep.
Okay, so I'm thinking, keeping my temple covenants as patterns of daily living, what do I need to sacrifice? I don't actually even think it's that. I think it is not even necessarily something you need to sacrifice, which sounds painful. Mm-hmm. Instead, I think sometimes it is literally just evaluating what is taking up space that should.
I agree. Yeah. Yep.
So not even painful. Not even painful. Like, I really can think of a few things that I, you know, allow to take up space in my life because they're pressing and proximate, but they aren't of as much value as some of the other things that I should intentionally put in their place. So
that's good.
So how can we help people to do that in our classes, right? Like, I think this discussion that we're having, not that you would have time to have this whole discussion necessarily, but like, if we're cognizant of it, the way that we even ask the question can reflect this. Okay, what if you want the Holy Ghost to help you identify ways that you can become more like the Savior, you know, based on, we've been talking about, you know, principle X today, let's say the Word of God. We've been talking about the Word of God today. And so obviously we don't move the needle in the classroom. We move the needle in our daily living. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about two things. One, is there something that's taking up space that could be replaced with something that will help you to add more of the Word of God into your life? Or is there something like a habit that needs to be inserted to help? You know what I mean? And get people talking about that, like being conscious in the way that we ask it to maybe even allow a discussion around, is there something taking up space that this characteristic or attribute of the Savior could actually fill in?
You know what I'm thinking?
Tell me.
No, you don't. But let me tell you what I'm thinking.
I really don't. I don't have BSP.
It would be really cool if we had, like you said, a discussion and kind of make this discussion live and invite others, whoever wants to join in and who has ideas, to come in and just live join us and say, all right, this is what we're going to talk about today. How do we do this? What do we do here? Because you and I can come up with some great ideas, and that's great, but we don't have all the ideas. It'd be pretty cool to get more people on discussions like this, because I'd love to hear what other people are doing and other people's thoughts on this. Just an idea.
Are you talking about this specific principle, or are you about like generally?
Well, this specific principle right now, but kind of all, you know, that bleeds to generally as well.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of cool.
Like these discussions that we're having about outcomes, you know, getting other people to come in and offer. Maybe, yeah, no, I love it. I mean, we just had an experience with a group of youth and we're like, man, the collective thinking of that group was really valuable. We need to get more collective input from people that think differently than we do to make these discussions more robust. I think you and I just are trying to kind of skim the surface and do the job of saying, here are some of our thoughts. Mm-hmm. And then what thoughts does the Spirit prompt you with as we have this discussion? But man, it sure would be nice to get more diversity of that thought. Is that kind of what you're suggesting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I love that.
Okay. That's some good discussion there. Thank you, Julie. Okay. Next one. We have time for one more.
Oh, let me just make one suggestion that popped into my head before you said that.
Please.
Think about how when you're planning your lesson, how much time do you intentionally carve out for application discussion? Because all three of these that we've talked about today have to do with how you would personally apply the principle of the gospel that you're talking about in your personal life. That's what all of these outcomes have to do with today. But I can't remember the last time that I literally put space in a lesson mentally to say, we're going to take not 1 minute, but like 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, 7 minutes, I don't know, whatever, and have a discussion about how to actually move the needle related to this principle.
Why don't we do that?
I don't do it. Do you?
How dumb are we not to do that? Seriously, I mean, my goodness. Of course. I mean, that seems like a no-brainer. Duh. Of course. I mean, how many times, either number one, is it not done because we're so busy giving content? Number two, at the end, we're like, oh, by the way, you should apply this to your lesson and here's an idea, or just go figure it out. And we skip over that rather than stopping and saying, okay, last 10, 15 minutes, we're going to take what we talked about in the first 15 minutes or the first half hour, and we're going to dive in and talk about how to actually use this.
Yep. And you have to have some good questions to guide that discussion. Yep. But if our intent is, and we're planning to have an application discussion, and we want it to be authentic and we want it to be robust, we have to plan for it.
Right.
That doesn't always happen organically.
Mm-hmm. I come to the phrase I used earlier. If we want to move the needle, then it's not just going to be about blah. It's going to be about maybe some blah, and then, okay, let's get together and figure out what are we going to do about it. And
I was trying to
get
figure
ideas.
Out what word you were going to put in there. You were like, it's not going to be about blah. It's going to be about, and then I was like, what, Kev? What's it going to be about? I was waiting for you to go, aha, or something like, what is the sound effect going to be?
Sorry. More blah.
I got distracted. Not blah, but yah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
German all of a sudden. I don't know.
Huh. Boy, planning that in though, and having a full on discussion about that. You know, okay, here's an example of what I've started to do with Elders Quorum that approaches that. Instead of having a lesson, we, you know, like the handbook says, we need to focus on one of the general conference talks. So we do, but we identify some things in there that can be better on maybe a personal level, maybe a family level, maybe a ward level, maybe a community level, maybe a saint level. I don't know, a world level, whatever. We identify some issues, and then rather than giving a lesson, we talk about what can we do to make it better in that context. And that is the lesson. Because my thought is, we are men of action. We want to actually do something about what we're learning. So why don't we just actually take the whole time and talk about moving the needle? Right.
That's what I was just literally the words that were going to come out of my mouth. You literally spend the whole time talking about how to move the needle.
Right.
That's awesome.
And I didn't even put that together. What you were saying, that what we did, or what we just
you're
barely started
doing
to do.
It. You mean?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, but we do it the whole time.
Yeah.
Huh? Didn't put that together.
Sometimes you're a genius and you don't even know it.
Well, goodness gracious. Tell that to my kids. Make sure that they hear this. Okay. Yes.
Okay. I'll tell them.
Good. Julie, I don't know that we have time for another one.
Okay. Sorry. I just
No, that's like good. That's okay. We only got to three of them. We may have to do another part three or something. Because this is so good. I'm learning a lot. Yeah, part 27 feels like Star Trek all of a sudden.
I hope people don't actually feel that way. I mean, actually, people like Star Trek. I personally do not. it would feel to me like it was droning on and on if people actually felt like this was Star Trek, and that would make me sad.
Well, no, I'm just saying that Star Trek has so many part one and part two and part three and part four.
I know, right? I know. Yeah. I know, but what I'm saying is I don't like Star Trek.
Oh, okay. Well then.
Sorry.
I know some people who would have some serious issues with you, Julie.
I know. All of a sudden people aren't going to like me, but oh well.
They're going to stop listening to this podcast because you don't like Star Trek.
Darn it. I should keep my opinions to myself more. Fat chance that's going to happen, but.
Yep. Nope. All right. Some good things came out of this that, again, I think I'm going to have to go back and review and just make sure that I'm doing some of these things.
The first part really helped me with that talk.
Yeah. Thank you. That was really good. This is a welcome to our therapy session with Kevin and Julie. That's about what it is.
Glad sometimes. You feel better, Kev. Glad you feel better.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Julie. Thank you.
You're right.
So if you would share this with others, let's get some discussion talking about what are the results of our teaching. How do we move the needle? How do we put this into practice and get this going rather than just teaching and thinking that's, you know, we checked it off and we're good. We taught. How do we move the needle on this? Thanks everyone for listening. Let us know. Go to teachingrestore.com and share your feedback. We would love to hear it. Take care, everyone. Please. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode on Teaching Restored. Now, us here, the team at Teaching Restored, we are here and it's our goal to help gospel teachers become more consecrated, more converted, more effective when teaching the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Our vision is to have this mass army of excellent teachers who go out and teach, you know, whether it's a calling to teach or whether it's being a parent or whether it's a missionary or you're just a friend to someone. Really, in the end, we're all teachers, aren't we? The more we can help each other become better teachers, we're all teaching each other. I can see this great army going forward and laying the foundation for the second coming. And helping more and more people accept the gospel of Jesus Christ deeper and deeper in our hearts. That's what our goal is. That's what kind of our vision is. You can help us with that vision by doing one of four things, or maybe even all four of these things. Number one, if you would, please share. Share the podcast. Share the accounts. Share an episode, an individual episode with another teacher, another parent, a missionary, someone learning the gospel and really wanting to try to learn, okay, how am I going to teach this to others? Share it with them. While you're there, please like, share, and subscribe as well. That helps bring up on social media and in other places for others to see. And then leave a comment. Tell us your experience. We'd love to hear your experiences and rate the show. If you're on a podcast, rate it and say, great, we love this. Or, you know, Kevin, you have a little bit of ways to go. And we all know that. We can all improve, can't we? And then, of course, join us on social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, YouTube, any of those. Join us there and watch our shorter snippets of content that we have going out. Thanks so much for joining us. We have loved this ride and we are excited to continue to do this even more, but we can't do this without you. If you would, please join us in doing these things. Thanks so much and we'll see you next time.